with man, which are impossible.
Together with God.
Together with God.
They can be.
They will be.
Yes, they will be. For the things which appear.
For the things which appear.
By faith were framed.
By faith were framed.
From things.
From things
which
our eyes do not see.
That's why, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe. To him that believeth, Lord, I believe.
Lord, I believe.
For many things are possible
because I believe.
For me, things are possible.
For me, things are possible
because.
If you believe it, sing it. For me, things are possible.
For me, things are possible.
Because I believe.
One more time. For me.
For me, things are possible.
Because I believe.
Lord, we believe. We believe. Having the same spirit of faith, we believe and therefore we speak and we declare. Like you, we call the things which are not as though they are, and they become. For us, all things are possible in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Fathers, we just share a brief exhortation from your word now. I pray for fresh unction. Help me speak. Let a rhema word come into every heart to inspire us, to encourage us, to believe in this hour for your glory. In Jesus' name. This afternoon, I'm just going to share a few scriptures. I don't have a main message. There's a message Pastor Dury has prepared, but it will not be today. Probably he'll give it very soon. As the choir, that song from Ezekiel. Based on the vision of the valley of dry bones in Ezekiel 37 and also applied to the taking of Zion in 2 Samuel when David became king, the stronghold of Zion had not been taken by Israel. It was occupied by the Jebusites. It's a very instructive truth to understand, and I like the way God has used the choir to share that truth with us. For 2,000 years, the church has not taken Zion. Zion, in the Old Testament typology, was a castle. That's where Jerusalem is, you know. That was occupied by the Jebusites. Throughout the time of Joshua, they didn't take it. Came into the land. They conquered a lot of land, but they never conquered Zion. And the reason was the fact that Zion is on a hill. And for those of you who know anything about the military, if you have a stronghold on a hill, is one of the most difficult places to take, particularly in the olden days. Now we have jets and air power and smart bombs and all kinds of paratroops from the air, but they didn't have back in those days. So they had to come up the hill to try and charge. And the person on the hill has an advantage because he can see everything you're doing. So back in the olden days, it was very difficult. That's why they didn't take it for hundreds of years. Throughout the time, Joshua died. You know, the judges, Ruth, you know, right down Gideon. Nobody could take Zion. Zebora, thank you. Ehud. All the great judges, right on the time of Saul. Saul reigned. Samuel couldn't take Zion. Right on the time of Saul. Saul didn't even attempt it. Like many Christians of today. That's why that song is very good. Lord, I believe. Things with which men are impossible, together with God. So it's impossible to take Zion in the natural. Not possible. Very difficult. And down through the years, Christians have attempted to take Zion and many have died. I wrote a weekly rhema some months ago. And something very significant happened to me. You know, I was writing about storing, mixing, and releasing prayers. Remember that message? And the fact that prayers are never wasted. When they cannot be answered, God stores them. This is just free of charge, by the way. Do you know that that's where our Catholic brethren got praying to saints from? That's why they pray to Saint Christopher. And they pray to Saint this and Saint Agnes and Saint that. You know, every error has an element of truth in it. Do you notice that the prayers that were not answered were in the hands of the elders? The saints. That's why they pray to their patron saints. Now, of course, not right. You pray in the name of Jesus. Now, it is Jesus who will direct whichever saint he wants to store it. Now, you don't pray directly to Saint Christopher or where you're the saint. But, you know, don't let's condemn everybody, you know. It's knowledge is progressive. You know, somebody somewhere down, maybe in the first century, had a vision of his prayers going up and a saint, you know, collecting it, which was true at that time. And then he now made a doctrine out of it. And started praying to Saint Christopher and Saint Agnes and Saint Gregory. That's where you get all the saints from. There is even something in the church called All Saints Day. May God have mercy on us. Anyway, we love our brethren. Amen. Okay, so the saints, the prayers are stored. If they cannot be fulfilled at the time the person prayed it, and God keeps it. When the season is approaching, and God begins to raise up people who have understanding and who have faith, when they now begin to pray, God will now take their prayers and mix it with the ones that were stored, and then amplify it on the altar of mercy, and then put it back into the earth, and there will be thunderings, voices, and earthquakes, meaning they will avail much. And then the prayers avail. So when I was writing this weekly Rayburn, you know, it came to my heart and I obeyed instantly. I remembered our fathers of old. In particular, I remember some of the Kingdom Fathers. Bill Britton. George Warnock is still alive. George Warnock is about almost 100 now. They sent me a letter. His family sent me a letter just recently, about a month ago or two months ago, because I sent an offering to them every month, you know, and they said he's old now, you know, and I can give the money wherever I want to give it. You know, I said, no, God didn't tell me to do that. I said, so they said, okay, I should now give it to Bill Britton Ministries. Bill Britton was an old, well, he's dead now. He's been dead for some years. He died in, 85? I can't remember exactly, you know. And I said, I'll send to Bill Britton. So Bill Britton's daughter, you know, is, and her husband, I think, you know, are now in charge of all of that. So they do all the books and the tapes and the messages. They're still available. You can get them online, you know, and I sent it to her. So when I was writing this weekly rhema, God said, send that rhema to her. And I said, Becky, her name is Becky. I said, what your father and the fathers of those times, they saw these things. They saw the manifestation of sons of God. They saw, but the Bible says that they would not be made complete without us. And I said, be encouraged. And I sent her that article and said, you would, the prayers of your fathers, not just your father alone, but of some of the fathers, this guy was here, Kelly Varner, you know, it's not in vain. God stored it up so that at the end time, the end time generation of the manifestation of the sons of God will mix our prayers with theirs, and God will finish his work. Go back to what the choir preached or sang. You know, we tried to get Zion, but many of the saints go try and go up the hill. The enemy, from his advantage point, was able to go down. But the Bible tells us that in the end time, there will be a company that will take Zion. Amen. And we are destined to be that company. And that is why we must believe all things are possible to him that believeth. And I just want to leave this word of great encouragement. In the time of David, how come they were able to take Zion when nobody else before that time was able to take Zion? How come, you know, how come Joshua couldn't take Zion? How come the judges, you know, in the time of Samuel and so forth and so on, you know? If you read the account in 2 Samuel chapter 5, you find that they went up through the water courses. Water is a type of the life of God. So by going through the water courses, these guys thought they could never come up. So they sort of hid themselves and went through, because they had to have water. So pumped up. So it was through, they went through, today we would call them, what do they have? They have them in England. I know we have, I'm sure we have here, you know, you underground, you have underground tunnels where you have, you know, there's a name for it. I forgot. You know, like an aqueduct, yeah, but there's even a modern name for it. I don't know how it just escaped my mind. You know, sewers, all the telephone things abroad, you don't see them in the sky, they're underground. So, you know, and Joab and his men went through, they went through those. And so by the time they come up, suddenly, thank you, they were able to overcome the Jebusites and they were able to take Zion. That's in the natural. In the spirit, what is happening? Now observe this. Nekashtofredeges. Let's go back to the natural and I'll come back to spirit in a minute. You know, when they went through those aqueducts, when they went, you know, they were hidden. Because they were tunnels, you see. Underground tunnels. So you couldn't be shooting you couldn't shoot your bow and arrow or use your something against them because you couldn't see them coming. Who gave David the wisdom? See, don't do a frontal attack. It's always failed. Go through the water channels. It will provide covering for you. It will provide protection for you. So when you now break out at the top of the hill and the castle, you will be meeting them on an open playing field. Thank you. Today, what does that relate to? In yesteryears, and that includes even, thank you, sometime early this century, you know, and in the ages before that time, you know, after the first apostles died, when that whole generation died, when I say generation, the Lord Jesus first, then Peter, James, and John, the 12 apostles, then Paul, and then some of the disciples of John, people like Polycarp. That first 100 and 150 years still saw the glory of God. All the tradition of the Catholic Church, some of which I just mentioned, you know, about praying to say that, they all came from things they heard from the early church fathers, which were real, because some of those guys, they had visions, they were translated to heaven, they came back, they gave the, and people wrote it down and became traditions. Then nothing. When that whole generation died, that's what we call the Dark Ages. Nobody understood the Bible anymore. It was written, for heaven's sake, in Aramaic, Hebrew, and Greek. If you didn't go to school, you couldn't read the Bible. And I first of all, I've gone and take a course in Greek. Then take another course in Hebrew. Then take another one in Aramaic. It's after you pass all of that, you can now open the Bible. That's why Yale, Harvard, all these, Oxford, Cambridge, they all started as theological institutes. Back in those days, everybody would go, you first of all go and learn Greek and Hebrew. Then you now become a priest. You can now read the Bible. Anyway, there was nothing for 1,000 years until 1517, when the Reformation started with Martin Luther. He too had to go and learn Greek. He was in the seminary. It was when he was reading his Bible that he came across "the just shall live by faith." And then he did everything. He was a good priest though. He did everything he was told to do. He would pray to the saints. He would light candle. He would you know, pay his penance. But he never had peace. It never salved his conscience from sin. Then he came across that thing. He said, all this thing they're telling us to do, and you know, it can't be right. Then he took a bold step of faith and acted on the word and got a peace. When he got up, he said, this is the real thing. So he made a protest and nailed it on the wall of the church, at the door of the church. That's where you get Protestant from. And started this revival. And we've been on for over 400 years now. Going into 500. I went all through that history to say, from that time to now, nobody has taken Zion. The only people who had a little bit of inkling in Zion were the early, I'm talking about Jesus, the Lord Jesus. I'm talking about Peter, James, John, Paul, you know, and all those guys. They were able to enter and see and write down for us. That's why we have the perfection epistles. But nobody since then till now has experienced it. But in the last 100 years, after the Pentecostal revival of 1901, firstly in Topeka, Kansas, and later on 1906 in Azusa Street, and down through up till our own time now, people like Kenneth Hagin and John G. Lake and all these great men that we've heard about, you know, there have been attempts to get to Zion. But hitherto, none of those attempts have been really successful. And this is the reason. The only way you can get to Zion is through the water spouts, hidden. So it has to be through effective, fervent, effectual praying in the Spirit. Generations before us have tried to use understanding. Now, we pray understanding too, don't misunderstand me. But, you know, it was Kenneth Hagin. You know, God, thank God for God using Kenneth Hagin. He was a forerunner, you know, and he said that 90% of his praying is done in the Spirit. In these last 30 years or so, God now added an extra element to us, you know, about using the life of God in abundance and travail. Thank you. It is that, in addition to praying in tongues and praying understanding, that's going to take us through the water courses up to Zion. Because when you're praying in the Spirit with all kinds of prayer, you do not know what you're praying for, and you are covered by the glory and the presence of God, and the enemy cannot penetrate. Try and do it any other way, they'll shoot you down. And that's why today we are on the verge of taking Zion. It's going to take faith and understanding. And so I bring you this short word of exhortation and encouragement. If you look back down the valley, so many dead bones. You know, when I look, particularly, you know, amongst not even both faith and kingdom, you know, John G. Lake, for example, with all the great miracles John G. Lake did, you know, John G. Lake died. He was sick. He was a good man. There was no sin or anything like that. So I wonder, why is this Pileton here? Kelly Verner. Talking about people that you know, that you can even relate to. And many others. So, can this thing ever be done? Will we ever take Zion? You know the answer? Yes. You know why? Lord, I believe. Everybody say, Lord, I believe. Things which with men are what? Impossible. Together with God, they can be. We need the wisdom of David. We need to go up through the water courses. We can't do frontal attack. Can't do in the understanding and it's not going to work. It hasn't worked. And it will not work. We have to go through the way Jesus did it. When Kunle was teaching in the Bible study this morning, he didn't say it exactly, but he hit it tangentially when he was talking from Philippians chapter 3, verses 10 and 11. You know, in the King James it says, you know, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God, you know, that if I might know the resurrection of the dead. You know, and he mentioned this, and I whispered to Pastor Boya, you know, and he said that Jesus was our pattern, and that Jesus was our pattern, and that we needed to follow, you know, his example. And then, you know, he talked about, you know, deny yourself, and then I shouted daily, you know, and then you see the pattern. The Bible says in the days, he didn't mention that, he said in the days of his flesh, he offered up what? Prayer and supplication with what? Strong crying and tears unto him, excuse me, that was able to save him from death, and he was heard in that he what? Fear. That's the pattern. That's the water course. That's how Jesus got there. If we're going to get there, we have to go the same way. I shared with us, I think, I don't know, it was on Wednesday. You know, I said, do you know Jesus prayed from light scriptures? So I said, do you know that's how I was taught light scriptures by God? Then later on, I found that people like F.F. Bosworth and others had written about it, E.W. Kenyon and John G. Lake and others, you know. But the important thing is this. When the Holy Ghost was teaching me, he said these are messianic scriptures. You know what messianic means? That is, they are prophetic scriptures with direct reference to the Messiah. Go and check it out. Go and look at some, particularly Psalm 119. You find, you know, give life to me, give life to me, give life to me, give life to me, give life to me. Where do you think Jesus was getting all that stuff from? It was God who taught him. Hence, this scripture, which is also in Psalm 119, it says, I have more understanding than all my teachers. Because your testimonies, Jason. They said they were amazed at the age of 12. He said they were astonished at his understanding. Where was he getting it from? He wasn't it because he was God, oh, don't forget that. He wasn't operating his omniscience. He was operating as a man. He was getting life. No wonder why he understood the concept of life. Now, Jesus' ministry, particularly in the book of John, you know, John was very close to him. It opens with life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. I am the light of the world. He that followeth me will not walk in spiritual darkness. I want to qualify it. Hallelujah. But shall have the light of life. As the Father hath life in himself, so has he given to the Son to have life himself. For God so loved the world that whoever believeth in him should not perish, but shall have everlasting life. I am come that they might have life and have it more. Where do you think he got all that from? Who taught him? The Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost. And what is life? Water. Living water. So when you go through the courses of the living water, it will take you up the hill of Zion and you will possess it. So Jesus didn't just pray with prayer and supplication and strong crying. There was life that was fueling the prayer. God, exactly. Deep calls unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. The deep things of God. These are things that are not taught us by man's wisdom, but the Holy Ghost teacheth. Why have generations before us failed? They wanted to go up to Zion without going through the water courses. It will fail. And it's not because we're better and smarter. We just happen to be living in a more privileged generation where there is more light. We are now enjoying the accumulation of light over many generations. So it's not because we're better. the light of the time of Paul, the light of the time of the early church fathers, the light of the time of the Reformation, the light of the time of the Wesley Revival, the light of the time of the Anabaptists, the light of the time of the Pentecostals. It's been cumulative light. Thank you. He says, in the evening time there shall be light. Now the light of all the 70s is now in one day. So it's not clear to us. Now we now know the spiritual technology. You put Zoe inside. Then when you speak, it now becomes dunamis. And then when you now pray in tongues and groaning, that dunamis is now converted to godly power. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, meekness, temperance. That same dunamis now, you can convert it again. Power to get wealth. You can convert it to power for healing and deliverance. Power to save. Power to deliver. Just like in, you have electric power, mechanical power, solar power, chemical power. So it is in the spirit. We're no longer walking in darkness. We're going through the water courses. We're not doing some of the things our fathers, the mistakes our fathers made. We learn from their experience. Amen. We have now learned that the most important thing in this place is humility.
Yes, sir.
For it is humility that will bring grace. And it is grace that gives life. We never connected life and grace before. It's in the last few years, the last 10, 15, 20 years, that God has helped us by revelation to connect life and grace and life and mercy. So when you say grace, it's not only grace. What grace brings is life. And then the measure of life depends on the degree of grace. And the degree of grace depends on the degree of humility. So where pride kills some of our fathers, it will not kill us. You know, it's pride to try and storm a stronghold. Frontal attack is foolishness. You may be brave, but you're stupid. Because you will die. They say discretion is the better part of valor. I may be brave, but if I don't have wisdom, my bravery will kill me. So I need to be brave, and I also need the wisdom of God. Do you notice something about Jesus? He was never confrontational. For a prophet must not perish out of Jerusalem. The servant of the Lord must not strive. He says, behold my servant, he will not strive, and you will not hear his voice in the street. He was very careful, because he knew why he was here. Very humble. He says, and he was subject unto his parents. They were wrong, he was right, but he was subject to them. That's why in that confession I put submitting to the will of God, even when you think or know. Now you know you are right, and you still submit. You know why? You need grace flowing. You understand your life source. You understand what is going to give you victory. And so when he was going to tell us to learn of him, he didn't say learn of power. He didn't even say learn of wisdom. He said, I am meek. He said, if you get this, you get everything. Yes, the arrogant man will die. It is the humble that will take Zion. Joab and his men, they crouch down. A sign of humility, because those tunnels are not big, so you have to be on your knees crawling through the tunnel. and all kinds of smelling, you know, rats and things. You have to endure the endure the shame and despise the shame. You know, but they were going up. The enemy could not see them. They laughed at them. So even if you are if you are lame, even if there were lame people here, you can't come up. By the time they got to the castle, suddenly they took it. With God and us, all things are possible. If you will walk with God, if you be humble like God, you know you can't walk with God and be proud. You know why? Can two walk together except they be agreed? If God is humble and you are proud, you can't walk together. You're out of sync. William, Dara's husband, he wrote me a small summary of the Bible study they did in their church. I was very blessed. Me and my wife and I, he copied mommy. His pastor was teaching them about grace. He said many things, but this one particular one, and it applies here. Because I just remembered what I just said. Can two walk together except they be agreed? When he says his yoke is easy, you know why? How many people know what a yoke is? It's a wooden collar. Thank you, Pastor G. So you put it on two yoke of oxen. A yoke is never for one oxen. All right, it won't be a yoke. So when you have one, when you put the neck of the first ox, then you put the thing on the neck of the, then you now plow them together to plow the land. And William said this. I told him, I said, son, you just blessed me. He said, Jesus is the senior oxen. You are the junior oxen. When the senior oxen is walking, life is easy for the junior oxen. The real power is from the senior ox, not from the junior ox. So the junior ox can just ride along. His yoke is easy. His burden is light. But who are you yoked with? Don't be unequally yoked. For another day. All this is just coming. I have no note to. It came out of Demelade's song. Let be yoked together with God. So the grace is God adding his power to your power. Then you will make the yoke will be easy. It's when you yoke yourself and you don't yoke it with God. You're going to yoke it with some Angelina. I haven't heard that name in years. I want daughters of the East Country. You go and yoke with daughter of this country. She can't even work. So you are carrying a dead oxen. No wonder why the burden is so hard. Careful who you yoke with. Kumakaranaga. Another text. A threefold cord is not deliverable. So put the senior ox in the middle. Then one yoke here. One yoke here for your husband and for your wife, and then let Jesus carry the burden. Amen. But if you don't invite Jesus into the marriage, it will just be the yoke on the two of you, and you can't carry it. Psalm 110, I got to close. Have I helped anybody here? I have three scriptures. We'll read them and I'll just say a word and we'll close. A Psalm of David. Psalm 110 is one of my most favorite psalms. I love all the psalms, you know me. I love Psalm 119, all my life scriptures. And they're not mine, they're Jesus's, amen. But I took it from him, amen. And all promises of God in him are yea, and in him are amen. So they're his and they're mine because we're joint heirs. Incidentally, they're yours too. The only problem is that you've denied it. I don't believe in my scriptures. You just threw away your inheritance. By these you might be partaker. Exceeding great and precious. I didn't write that. Peter saw it. They saw it. The early apostles, they saw it. That by this we might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. In other text. How many people have heard of escape velocity? You haven't done physics at that level. If you try and fly an aeroplane out of this place, you could go, it's going to come down. It will come down. Because of gravity. It's a force of gravity. But you put a rocket, you give it enough fuel, there is a minimum velocity. It's called escape velocity. It helps you to escape the gravitational pull of the earth. So after much research and doing work with Newton's laws of equation and all of that, they now found a formula. They were able to estimate what the mass of the earth is. So there is a formula that will give and know the radius of the earth that tells you that particular velocity. Nobody is going to outer space if you do not exceed the escape velocity. You will not enter perfection if you do not get escape velocity. And it is given by life scriptures. It's the fuel. Thereby given unto us exceeding great and precious from there. That by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature and thereby escape. Give the Lord a clap offering. This is not religion. It's reality. Psalm 110. May God have mercy on us. The Lord said unto my Lord, I love the scripture. You know what it is? Jehovah said to Adonai. That tells you that there are more than one person in the Godhead. In the beginning, Elohim, gods, plural, made the heavens and the earth. So we're given a peek of divine revelation into a conversation taking place in heaven. So Jehovah, everybody say Jehovah, said to Adonai, sit at my right hand until, everybody say until. Say it again.
Until.
Say it again.
Until.
Say it again.
Until.
I make thine enemies thy footstool. Stop. How many people know that Jesus is sitting at the right hand of God today? Since Easter Sunday, he has been there. Occasionally he visits, but that's where he stays. That's his office. Are you listening to me? He's not getting up. He's only going to get up when he's coming for us. A glorious church, not having spot, blemish, or wrinkle. But he will not stand up until the church on the earth has made his enemies his footstool. And notice that the feet are in the body, not in the head. So it is the church that is going to make the enemies, and the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So when we have a death conquering church, a church that is making the miracle of Lazarus common. Oh, it's coming. Correction is here. I'm talking like Jesus. The hour is coming and now is. even at the door. We will make the miracle of the raising of Lazarus common. Raising people from the dead after 4 days will no longer be news. They will do it in Ibadan. They will do it in Tokyo. They will do it in London. They will do it in California. They will do it all over. So who did it? Oh, just some young Christian. Young Christian. 2 years old, 3 years old, 5 years old as a Christian. And they will go there and say, why are you crying? Why are you crying, mommy? Why are you crying, daddy? He's not dead, he's sleeping. They said, you have started, oh. He said, know you not that I am the resurrection and the life? Take away the stone. Take away the... Remove the cement. Break the thing up. They said, by this time, he stinketh. He said, you will see the glory of God. It will become common. They would make their enemies footstool. Verse 2. The Lord shall send the rod of thy strength. Where? Out of Zion. Rule when you get to heaven. Rule thou where? In the midst of our enemies. This don't something that's going to happen. There are no enemies in heaven. It's in the nasty here and now. Not in the sweet by and by. Are you listening to me? Right here. Next verse. Thy people shall be what? Willing. Those dead bones.
Amen.
Can these dead bones live? You know the answer? Yes. By the Spirit. You know who you're looking at? A dead bone. This will be Johnson. Dead bone. I was dead in the valley of dry bones. My mother's family is Muslim. My grandfather was a chief imam. When I was a young boy, 10, 9, 10, 11, you're in Ileya, you will see me with all these people who put the thing of the ram inside a stick, will be fighting. You would never have that boy become a pastor. Can these dry bones live? Yes. I didn't grow up in church. Dead bones. In the valley of dead bones. But one day, the Spirit of God, he began to blow over my bones, and bone came to his bone. I'm using my life as an example to let you know that he's real. And bone came to his bone and sinew. And then the Spirit of God breathed upon me. In a place called Ikom. You've never heard of it. It's on the map. 15 kilometers from the Cameroonian border. The last place on earth you would think. And the dry bones came alive. And then I went to Imperial College, and the wind of the Spirit, vroom, and I stood. And here I am today, leading an exceeding great army. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. I don't know how many of you do statistics and probability. If you calculate the probability of that thing happen to me, it's 0.00000000. Given my background, yes! And my antecedents. With God and me, it's possible. With God and me, we can. For the things. Our eyes do not see. Of course we can. Here I am. No magic. Here I am. Dry bones. Dead in the valley of dry bones. But here I am standing up. With the Spirit of God inside me. If it happened to me, it can happen to you. That's why I said, thy people! I'm one of them. Thank you. I said I'm one of them.
I am one of them.
Shall be willing.
Shall be willing.
I was willing, folks. When I got to know the truth, I became willing. In the day of thy power. In the beauty of holiness. That's where I got born. Hallelujah. From the womb of the morning. Thou hast the dew of thy youth. I was only 21 years old. God arrested me. If it can happen to me, it can happen to anybody. I have prophetic news for you. There are billions out there. They are only waiting for the word of Ezekiel. They are dead. They are dead. We say, son of man, prophesy. Another text. They have been prophesying, but the voice of the stranger they will not hear. No karama kaptos kelebengers. No wonder. They have been prophesying, but they're not here because they will not hear the voice of a stranger. But when the real one comes, they say, this is our God. We have waited for him. And they will rise up an exceeding great army. Yes. It is possible. We will take Zion. And the glory of God will come to the earth. Stand to your feet. Let's pray. Nekaprofrenegas. With God in me, it's possible.
Men are impossible.
and which are impossible.
Together with God.
Together with God, they will be. For the things which appear by faith were made.
Say, God, I believe. I believe every dry bone in my life can live. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I can and I will take the stronghold of Zion. Say it. I can and I will take the stronghold of Zion because I'm going through the water spouts. In the name of Jesus, I'm following the example of Jesus in the days of his flesh. I offer a prayer and supplication with strong cry. I will take Zion. Individually and corporately. I believe. With me. With me. With me. The impossibility of taking Zion has become possible. Because I believe. Say, Father, I confess our sins. And so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Father, I thank you for your word that has come to me this afternoon, encouraging me to believe. To believe. To believe in perfection. To believe in the manifestation of your glory in this hour. Father, breathe afresh on me the power of the Holy Spirit. Let every dry bone in my life, in my circumstances, let them come alive. In Jesus' name. Nekato fredele. Liprakatoshke fredes. Leramashan. Tolomashtu fredes. Nengare. Liprakato fredes. Lombroke Kufi, Tolomoshaya, Yuku Tufrede, Liki Tufrenengara, Tufrenex, Ziki Tufrenex, Zofrekalamas, Ziki Tufrenengas, Lopredegas, Stufrenex, Zofredele, Ziki Tufrenex, Zofredele, Tufrenex, Tolomangara, Tufrenex, Tufredele, Tufredele. In Jesus' name. As we were praying, a picture came to my mind. Very funny. I feel led to share it. And I'm sharing it for a very important reason. Don't condemn people, though. Even people of other religions. I must have been 5, 6, 7. Every Ilea festival, my mother would take me and my brothers, to our grandfather. My grandfather was chief imam. I've never forgot. Very, very, very erudite,
very cerebral man. He spoke English, French, and Arabic. Very. He was a Queen's Counsel, great man. And he would take us, you know, he had a Rolls Royce and all, he was very rich, you know, park us inside the car. You know, and we'll drive to Obalende prayer ground. Because my grandfather was chief imam, I was on the front row. You know, we all, you know, and some of my cousins, you know, we're all being, you know, put the mats out. So us kids, you know, would just be right, you know. So sometimes all the big men, you know, who, you know, generals and all that, they'll all be there. I'll be right there, you know. And something strange used to happen. His picture just flashed back now, you know. I'm saying this so that you don't condemn people, though. You don't know who God is going to use in the future. And, you know, they all bow, you know, the Muslim prayers, they will bow and all that, you know. And as a kid, you know, kids can be funny and all of that. You know, when they bow, stand. True story. And I'll be looking. Wondering why they all bowing. You know, and then I'll do it, and I'll be laughing, and you know, children, you know, and you know, and I'll just, in my mind, as a kid, you know, I say, one day I'll understand all of this. Just like that. What if somebody had put a terrorist bomb and killed all the people there? Say they're all Muslims. Don't condemn people, though. You don't know what God is doing. And God doesn't have to consult you. And right there, God was working. And I'm not the only one, though. On my mother's side, in my family, we have about 5 or 6 pastors. One of them gave a testimony here during Chidu's wedding. He got born again through our wedding. Me and Sister Sarah. I have another cousin, first cousin. He's a pastor. He's gone to Rhema Bible Training Center. He's a powerful pastor. Both his parents were Muslim. We all used to be there together as children. You could never have guessed in a million years what we will be today. Be very careful. Jesus said, if he doesn't believe in me, say, don't condemn him. He said, the word I have spoken will condemn him in the last day. There's a long time between now and the last day. He said, in between the time, pray for them. I have sheep that are not yet of this fold. I am an example. With God, all things are possible. Pray for them. Be kind to them. You don't know where God is going to bring it out from. Put one hand on your body. Raise the other hand to God. Say, Father, I confess our sins. I'm so clean with the blood. In Jesus' name, we have life. Say, Heavenly Father, I thank you that by the stripes of Jesus, I have been set free from sickness and disease. They have no legal rights in my body. And so, I will not permit them to stay in my body. By the stripes of Jesus and his resurrection, life and power, I am healed. And I release divine resurrection, healing, life and power into my body from the crown of my head to the soles of my feet, in the name of Jesus. I put it into my heart, my liver, my kidneys, all my internal organs, my blood vessels, into every cell and the DNA of every cell in my body. And I command you, operate error-free in Jesus' name. I keep the laws of hygiene and natural medicine, of diet, of physical exercise, and of rest. In Jesus' name, amen. Zofreka, Zefriki Tumoshe, Lambrika Tukuklomatulu, Lambrika Tusko Fredeles, Zofre, Lumbrika Tufre, Jelambrika Tor, Zofrika Tolomatulomo Shangito, Zofre, Lambrika Tusko Fred, Zefre, Lumbrika Tolomo Shaka, Doklomatulomo Tufri Dufri Fresh, Lumbrika Tusko Fred, Zofre, Lambrika Tusko, Zefra, Lambrika Tusko. Zefri, Lombrica Tosca Frenenga de Bamatolo Musha, Lombrica Tufre, Zufri, Lombrica Taka, Jeke Tufre, Lombrica Tolomaras, Jeke Tofres, Zufri Deles, Nifri Dias, Nofre Deles, Jeke Tufres, Zufri Dias, Nefre Caras, Lupri Dias, Nufri Dias, Lingre Deles, Jeke Tufri Dias, Lombrica Deles, Zufri Deles, Tu fredeles, no fredes, no fredes, jilika, no fredeles, tu fredes, jeles, no fredes, tu fredeles, tu fredes. In Jesus' name,
amen.
Join hands with someone, let's share the grace. The Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
I said the Lord bless you and keep you.
Amen.
The Lord make his face to shine upon you.
Amen.
The Lord lift up the light of his countenance upon you.
Amen.
The Lord God gives you peace.
Amen.
God makes you head and not tail.
Amen.
Above only and not beneath.
Amen.
Everything you set your hand to is successful.
Amen.
You are at least 10 times better than your parents.
Amen.
You possess the gates of your enemies.
Amen.
Even the gate of death.
Amen.
Even the gate of death.
Amen.
So you will live and you will not die. You will live and declare the glory of God in the land of the living. With long life for God satisfied. And show you his salvation. Even the perfection and the fullness of Christ. So the Lord imparts unto us the spirit of the anointing of Enoch. Abraham. Joseph. Moses. Joshua. Ruth. David. Elisha. Daniel. Esther. Paul. And John. In Jesus' name. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God our Father, and the sweet fellowship of the blessed Holy Spirit rest and abide with us now and forevermore. In Jesus' name. Turn to your neighbor, because you believe, you will take the stronghold of Zion. God bless you. Have a great week.